Turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles this morning, smile at me. No cheaty-peaty now, it's going to be up there on that screen, but you still need to have it open in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, pull over next to somebody that does, and let's get used to using our word.
Amen.
Amen, because the electricity might go out, and we might not be able to look up there, but we can still have a Bible, glory to God.
Amen.
Don't need electricity for the Bible, except the electricity the Holy Ghost provides. This morning I'm talking at you about prayer. It's our second in a series of prayer, and this morning the title of my message is Prayer Power. We certainly got a taste of that this morning. Just for my jollies, if you were touched by the Lord this morning, I want you to stand up. If you were touched, truly touched by God, I want you to stand up. Look around. Come on. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. God's faithful. God's faithful. God's faithful. God says if we'll pray, He'll do. Luke 11, verse 9 says, So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Verse 12, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Last week we talked about the phrase, when you pray, which presupposes that you are praying. And I'm not just talking about blessing the hot dog and the macaroni and cheese. Not talking about blessing the bed before you go to bed. Bless my sleep so I don't have to wake up. Give me 8 hours. I'm talking about Holy Ghost driven, God directed, earth saturating prayer. The church, more than anything else, needs to get back to the basics of prayer. Crying out to God for the things that make Him move. God wants to move on this generation more than any other generation. For His return is near.
Amen.
Quoting a great Christian man said, what is the reason that many thousands of Christian workers in the world have not a greater influence? Nothing save this, the prayerlessness of their service. In the midst of all their zeal in the study and in the work of the church, of all their faithfulness in preaching and conversation with the people, they lack that ceaseless prayer which has attached to it the sure promise of the Spirit and the power from on high. It is nothing but the sin of prayerlessness which is the cause of the lack of a powerful spiritual life. Friends, if we just come to church and ask God to move by a little prayer just before service, we're going to be disappointed. God wants to move in power. It's one thing for Him to move in mercy. Thank God for His mercy. How many have experienced His mercy? That's when we don't deserve it and He still gives it to us.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's faithful. And I love the Spirit of mercy. I love His mercy. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Man, I feel the anointing about the mercy of God. And the grace of God. How grace, the power against sin, the grace of God. But listen, I'd much rather move in power of God. Power over sin so I don't have to repent. Power over sickness so I don't have to get sick. Power over the enemy so I can preach His word unhindered. Come on, somebody. The only way that that's going to happen is when we cry out to God. He reacts to our action. Our Father reacts to our prayer. He designed it that way. You ask, I'll give. Nowhere in the Word does it say, I'll give and you thank me. Although we live a life of thanksgiving.
Amen.
The Word of God is designed to ask, He'll give. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. When you're there, you're smiling at me. Everybody's looking at the Word of God. The unelectronic. I have an electronic word, but I'm sorry. I guess I can. Get my Bible out. Matthew 6. I'm asking everybody else to turn there. I better turn there myself, huh? Do what you're preaching there, preacher. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you, when they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in a secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. If you want a little bit of explanation on that, look at last week's message. It's certainly not exhaustive, but it is a look at that. I want to go into the actual, what we call the Our Father. Catholics love to call it Our Father prayer. It's that neat little prayer that we can pray. Most of us have memorized it. How many know God intended it for it to be a model, not for us just to repeat it?
Yeah, amen.
Everybody can repeat it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come on with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, let's go. That's it, man. We love to pray that prayer because that kind of fills the whole thing. And we're praying the word back to him and we're done. It only takes, I didn't time it, it was probably 25 seconds. But God wants to go much deeper with us in this model prayer. He wants us to focus on some things that will literally change the course of history. Embodied in these few verses is the power to change the course of history. And you and I are on the steering wheel right now. Somebody else was a generation before and they're in glory gone. Man, steer that thing. Somebody else will steer when we're gone and we'll be saying, steer that thing should Jesus tarry. But you and I have the power to steer this world into the greatest revival that's ever been seen.
Hallelujah.
And God gives us the gas right here, the petroleum right here, man. He gives it to us. He says, pray this prayer. They came to him and they said, teach us to pray. And pray we must. Pray we must in this hour. How the world needs our prayers. So he begins. Jesus said, in this manner pray, therefore, our Father in heaven. This reveals the position of who we're praying to. God is above all else in His majesty, power, dominion, and rule. When you ask God something, He's not going to appeal to a higher power. He's not going to ask permission from somebody else. He's not going to get the power from somebody else. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. And you have audience with Him at any time. I don't know about you, but if I could go right to the source, I like to go right to the source. If I have a problem with somebody, and most of us have had that happen, you have a problem with somebody in a bill-paying situation, whatever, and the first thing you want to do is talk to the manager. Please, may I talk to your supervisor? 5 times out of 10, you're going to get, my supervisor is busy. Can I help you? Now, I want to talk to the supervisor. Anybody ever been there? Man, you want to go right to the top. And then when the supervisor can't help, you say, I want to talk to the manager. When the manager can't help, you say, is the boss there? Well, we don't have to go through any of that. See, we don't have to come and ask somebody. We don't have to wait to ask a person. We don't have to wait to look to somebody who's dressed in a collar to ask God. We don't have to do any of that. We can do it without getting dressed. We can do it without getting a shower. We can do it without eating. We can do it without anything. We can do it without any purpose other than to cry out to God. And God says, I'm here. I'm listening. You're my child. Our Father in heaven. Paul gives a glimpse of this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:18. Turn there with me. Woo! Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. How many want your eyes open this morning? Prayed for several people that says, I want everything God's got for me today. Yeah. Enlighten me, Lord. Let my eyes be open to your glory. That you, say you.
You.
Who's you? All the yous, lift your hands. That's us. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, past tense, that when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Underline every name that is named, because, man, we have things in our lives that the enemy would like us to believe is stronger than God. Well, I don't have the right education. I don't have the right employment. I don't have the right position. I'll tell you what every one of us have. You're calling on the name of Jesus. If you're a born-again believer, I'll tell you what you got. You got the name of Jesus. That's above every name. Ha ha. Glory to God. You got the card to get you in to the top guy. You don't have to ask the manager, for the supervisor, for the boss, for the... Say, Father, in Jesus' name, and God's ear is inclined to you, far above all principality, verse 21, and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's saying, I'm just more powerful than what you know and what you don't know. What names are named now and what names will be named then? I'm greater than that. Woo-hoo, man. And he put all things, say all things, under his feet. Now you tell me what can get above that. Nothing. If he put all things under his feet, where are all things? Under his feet. And if they're under his feet, they're defeated. All the enemy can do is fake us out. Man, listen, can I just take a minute? Because the enemy has been doing this for a long time. He knows the right words to say. Do you know why he knows the right words to say? Because instead of pray, we complain. Come on, let's just admit it. Instead of pray, we get all up and bothered. We either put it, man, I see some things. I'll pick on Facebook again. I see some things on Facebook. Don't put that in writing. What's the matter with you? If you didn't know better, the enemy can read in any language. He can read that. He just call you out on it. We complain, we don't pray. We complain, then we pray. Now everything is between us and the, all that complaint, all that sin, all that doubt, all that unbelief is between us and the Father. Now instead of asking the supervisor, for the manager, for the boss, we're having to confess sin and get all that out. If we don't, God is not going to hear us. Preaching better than you're saying amen. Our Father, the endless one, the one that has it all together, the one that's not in training, the one that doesn't have to learn, the one that doesn't have to read, the one that doesn't have to catch up, the one that doesn't need a lot of information about my life. He knows me from the beginning to the end. Before I was born, when I die, he knows everything. All I got to do is ask. Hallowed be your name. Scripture says. After his position, this reveals his nature. I want to read just a little bit from Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton on God, and I quote, "The word God frequently signifies Lord, but every Lord is not God. It is the dominion of a spiritual being or Lord that constitutes God. True dominion, true God, supreme, the supreme. From such true dominion, it follows that the true God is living, intelligent, powerful, and from his other perfections that he is supreme or supremely perfect. He is eternal and infinite, omnipotent and omniscient. That is, he endures from eternity to eternity and is present from infinity to infinity. He governs all things that exist and knows all things that are to be known. He is not eternity or infinity, but eternal and infinite. He is not duration or space, but he endures and is present. He endures always and is present everywhere. He is omnipresent, not only virtually, but also substantially. For power without substance cannot subsist. All things are contained and move in him, but without any mutual passion. He suffers nothing from the motions of bodies, nor do they undergo any resistance from his omnipresence. It is confessed that God exists necessarily, and by the same necessity, he exists always and everywhere. Hence, also, he must be perfectly similar. All eye, all ear, all arm, all the power of perceiving, understanding, and acting, but after a manner not at all corporal, after a manner not like that of men, after a manner wholly to us unknown. He is destitute of all body and all bodily shape. Therefore cannot be seen, heard, or touched, nor ought to be worshipped under the representation of anything corporal. We have ideas of the attributes of God, but do not know the substance of even anything. We see only the figures and colors of bodies, hear only sounds, touch only the outward surfaces, smell only odors, taste, and do not, cannot, by any sense or reflex act, know their inward substances, and much less can we have any notion of the substance of God. We know him by his properties and attributes." God is so august, he's so large, he's so huge, he's so enveloping, he's so big, we cannot know him. But we do through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. His nature is perfect, yet he invites our imperfect prayers to release his power that he has to change the things he created to build his unshakable kingdom. We're blessed to have such a privilege. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Prayer should be of prime importance because an appointment with our Creator God. We should want to pray. We should, as a matter of fact, we're commanded to pray. We shouldn't take a step out of our house until we pray. Some say, "I'm not going to step out of my house so I see what the weather report is." Well, what about the glorious report of heaven? Do you think for a minute God doesn't want to let you know what's going to happen that day? He doesn't want to put you and preserve you and strengthen you and empower you and give you divine appointments the whole day through. You think any day is less important? You think Monday is less important than Sunday? Oh, I got to pray on Sunday because we're going to church. God fill the church. God fill the pastor. God fill the worship team. Well, how about God fill your house? How about God fill your car? How about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and not the John Boy and Billy show? You'll get that later. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This reveals his rule. We are not to cease to pray until that becomes a reality. His kingdom reigning in every venue. He rules my heart. He rules my home. He rules my family, my relatives, my town, my country. Until I see that come to pass, I have no excuse not to pray. And even there, I'll pray. John, when he was looked into the heavenlies, the angels and the multitudes and the 420 elders never ceased to pray. Never ceased to pray. They're praying all the time. John Shiver was here about a week ago, and he was up at Maranatha Fellowship, and he was talking about the creatures around the throne crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." He said he couldn't understand why it was holy, holy, holy all the time, 24/7, or just timeless, holy, holy, holy. And one of the commentators said it was because in the language that was used, every time the creatures looked into the face of God, they went, "Holy, yeah. Holy, yeah. Holy, holy, holy." He's holy. He's righteous. His rule is righteous. He never makes a mistake. I never made a mistake either, except when I made a mistake, that's when I thought I made a mistake. It's a joke. Never made a mistake. Never tripped. Never made. He is the ruler of all things. And he has rule over us. I don't know about you, but I want to stick with the guy that's 100%. Amen. I don't want to put my trust in my wife. She may be 99%. She's probably 99.9%. Husbands, turn to your wives and say, "You've been right more than I have." Come on. We don't like to admit that. Come on. That's for another thing. I mean, come on. That's for another whole message entirely. We don't like to be reminded of that. Your will. Here's where it gets personal. Your will be done. This reveals his omnipotence. He's the final authority. When you're in doubt, do not do it. We got ourselves in a lot of trouble. When we doubt, we do it anyway. Come on. Like the old cartoon, if I do it, I get a licking. I do it. Remember that? You old folks know what I'm talking about. When you're in doubt, don't. He's omnipotent. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 3. Thank you for your patience this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on his foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, capital D, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. His will. If I do my will, I may still be blessed, but I'm going to pay for it. Might be blessed here in this life, but when I stand before him on that day, and that thing which I desire to do that's outside of his will get burned with fire, and it won't exist anymore. Come on, somebody. Right. I want everything to be gold and silver and be stronger through the fire, because everything is going to be tested by the fire and the holiness of God. Everything we do, his will is the only one. There is no second. God, and a lot of us have gotten used to it. A lot of people have gotten used to making decisions and then asking God to bless it. Anybody guilty, raise your hand. Come on. Do something on a whim. You do something on a desire. You forget to pray, or you don't pray, or you don't want to pray because you know what you're going to hear from God. You do it anyway, and you ask God to bless it. His will. Jesus prayed this prayer, "Your will be done. Your will. God, let me know your will. God, let me know who you are. God, let me know what you think about this. God, let me know what I'm supposed to do. How am I supposed to spend my money? How am I supposed to spend my time? How am I supposed to spend? Where am I supposed to work? What am I supposed to do? Where am I to live?" We think, oh, it would be more convenient. Oh, it would be more convenient for me to live in this place or live in that place or to do this thing or to do that thing. Well, it may be more convenient, but did you ever think that God maybe didn't want you convenient? Just saying. Quiet in here. Your will. There's no caveat here. There's no footnote. Your will, it just in the case of spiritual things. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One translation says, as it already is in heaven. I mean, no, there's nobody asking God what he thinks in heaven. It's done his way or the highway. In heaven, he's the rule, his throne. But he allows us the freedom to make up our minds whether to obey him or not. He allows that. His greatest desire is to see his will followed here on earth while we have the freedom to do so. Coming the day when his will be the rule in all of creation. Coming a day when there won't be any. Well, I'll let you make up your mind. And he wants us to do it now while we have free will to do his will. Come on, somebody. So we're praying this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will, God. That's it. That's final. I'm not going to do anything until I hear from you, God, and you will readily answer me as I pray. God's not hiding. God's not waiting until you get frustrated. There's a timing in God and we have to wait for it. It's just the way it is. Come on, somebody. His mercy and grace allow us the luxury of making a choice. We make the wrong choice, thank God for his mercy. Amen. We are called to reveal his rule, his will, here in our finite existence. Now he said something. Give us this day our daily bread. This reveals his provision. You know, it occurred to me that God provided for Abraham, he provided for Hagar, he provided for Israel, he provided for Elijah, he provided for Jesus, he provided for the 5,000, he'll provide for Rick. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to provide for me. He knows. What do you think, he's clueless? He knows, but he wants you to ask. It may take a little bit, but please bear with me. There was a man named George Mueller who ran orphanages back in the 1800s. He was born in 1805 in Prussia. He was a man of faith. Matter of fact, George Mueller was a prayer warrior, but he never asked any human being for help. In fact, while working with him, if you ask anything, if you told anybody of a need, it was the last time he worked for George Mueller. His ministry was blessed because he trusted God completely. His 63-year ministry included missionary support, the establishment of the Scriptural Knowledge Institute in England, teaching Sunday school and day school, distributing Bibles and Christian tracts, and caring for England's orphans. He financially supported missionary operations in 26 different countries. He was directly involved in the Christian instruction of 121,683 pupils. He distributed 281,652 Bibles. Yeah. 1,448,662 New Testaments. It's one guy. 21,343 copies of the books of Psalms, 222,196 other portions of the Holy Scriptures. He kept perfect records. He distributed 111,480,067 tracts, booklets, and pamphlets. He mastered six languages: French, German, Hebrew, Latin, Greek, and English. After his conversion, he saw beyond the present to a greater goal. He realized that God alone was able to supply his every need by faith. He took God at his word and boldly came before the throne of grace to receive. Never found the throne vacant nor the supplies exhausted. He asked, knowing that God was able. Near the end of his life, he admitted to reading the entire Bible 200 times. 100 times on his knees. He, Mr. Mueller, mastered God's promises, believed them, and acted accordingly. He asked God to pour in the supplies so that they might be distributed to others. As Mr. Mueller faithfully distributed God's abundance of money and supplies, God poured in more and more. Mr. Mueller's testimony includes specific answers of 50,000 prayers. 5,000 prayers had been answered on the day of asking. He diligently kept records, and his prayer request records indicate a two-page entry format. On one page, he wrote the petition and date. On the opposite page, he recorded the answer. He recommended this form to believers who desired specific results to their prayers. Quote, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that the thing is right and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. George Mueller never gives up. Let not Satan deceive you in making you think. Listen, making you think you could not have the same faith. But that is only for persons situated as I am. When I lose such a thing as a key, I ask the Lord to direct me, and I look for an answer to my prayer. When a person with whom I have an appointment does not come, I ask the Lord to be pleased to hasten him to me, and I look for an answer. Thus, in all my temporal and spiritual concerns, I pray to the Lord and expect an answer to my request. And may not you do the same thing, dear reading believer. His Christian advice and rules to strengthen faith were simple. If you're taking notes, number one, George Mueller. Here's a guy that knew what he was talking about. Don't take my word for it. Ultimately, take the word. But when he did, number one, read the Bible and meditate upon it. God has become known to us through prayer and meditation upon his word. Number two, seek to maintain an upright heart and a good conscience. Number three, if we desire our faith to be strengthened, we should not shrink from opportunities where our faith may be tried. And therefore, through trial, be strengthened. Number four, just a hard one now. I'll say it slow so you can write it. Give God time to work. Mr. Mueller believed that nothing was too insignificant to take to the Lord in prayer. I'll read one testimony. You okay? Everybody all right? You're not falling asleep or anything? You hungry? Okay. The Muellers set off for the United States in August 1877 aboard the Sardinian off Newfoundland. The weather turned cold and the ship's progress was seriously retarded by fog. The captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours when something happened which was to revolutionize his life. George Mueller appeared on the bridge. Captain, I have come to tell you I must be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon. Captain said, that's impossible. Very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I've never broken an engagement for 52 years. Let us go down into the chart room and pray. The captain wondered which lunatic asylum Mueller had come from. Mr. Mueller, he said, do you know how dense this fog is? No, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God. Mueller then knelt down and prayed. When he had finished, the captain was about to pray, but Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and told him, first, you do not believe he will, and second, I believe he has, and there is no need whatever for you to pray about it. The captain looked at Mueller in amazement. Captain, he continued, I have known my Lord for 52 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, captain, and open the door, and you will find the fog is gone. Captain walked across to the door and opened it. The fog had lifted. It was the captain himself who later told the story of this incident and who was subsequently described by a well-known evangelist as one of the most devoted men I ever knew. It was this prayer that kept Mr. Mueller's soul free of doubt, worry, and fear. As a result, he could write such entries as one on March 9th, 1847, "The greater the difficulty, the easier for faith." Give us this day our daily bread. God's going to sustain us. He met Moses in his need. He met Abraham in his need. He met Elijah in his need. He met the 5,000 in his need. And none of them were asked to store anything. God provided them out of nothing. Matter of fact, the Israelites, when they tried to store up for an extra day, what happened? Worms ate the extra. Just saying. I'm just saying. I've heard a lot about storing up for the times that are coming. I've heard a lot about that. And I say there's some wisdom in there. But I read my Bible, God supplied for people out of nothing. Just what they had. Just saying. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank God for His provision. Woo-hoo. The overwhelming evidence is in Scripture of His provision, and it cannot be ignored. When we doubt, go to the Scripture. We doubt, go to our knees. Don't let doubt and unbelief seize you. God knows your need, and He'll meet your need and surpass your need and your expectation. That's His character. That's who He is. Give us this day. It's not a command. It's an asking from a Father who is more than willing to give to His children. My son used to work a little hard to get things from me, but my daughter, all she had to look and smile. That's it, right there. I had to train myself to not look straight in her eyes so I could discipline her correctly. But God wants to give to us and forgive us our debts. Now, Danny talked about this. This reveals His atonement. One of the most divine gifts that we have is His forgiveness. Aren't you glad that He forgives us? Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad He doesn't remember my mess ups. I'd be in trouble. He is faithful and just. He forgives and cleanses. At the end of the day, all the books are balanced to him who knows how to pray. Sensitivity to His will keep our hearts pure. Forgive us our debts. God is more than willing to forgive us. In fact, He set it up that way. We don't have to feel bad. There is no condemnation. Don't be condemned. If you've sinned, confess it and get rid of it. Amen. Somebody said, don't cry over spilled milk. For Pete's sakes, clean it up. Don't cry over it, clean it up. If you've sinned, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The total removal of the sin as a result of the divine forgiveness is variously expressed in the Scriptures. If you're taking notes, Isaiah 38:17, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Yeah. When we go to the Father, we say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, whatever that is, we confess it before Him. He goes, it's forgiven, it's under the blood, it's behind my back. I'm not even looking at it, I don't even care about it. Come on, that's forgiven, come on, come on, relationship is what I'm after. We clean up the spilled milk. We get rid of the sin. Micah 7:19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Woo-hoo. Watch this. Jeremiah 31:34. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin will I remember for 7 days. Oh, no more. Isaiah 43:25. I am He that blots out your transgressions. And then lastly, Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Woo! Glory to God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This reveals His character. We most certainly have to walk in forgiveness. Everyone has done dumb things. Didn't hear any amens. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. I learned this so real. My father was one of the meanest, cantankerous, beer-drinking, foul-mouthed individuals that ever walked the face of the earth. God got a hold of him about a year and a half before he died. He got saved.
Glory.
He's in glory now. And I hadn't recommitted my life, and I was angry at God. Because I knew what he said. His whole life changed, and I was angry about that. I said, God, that's not fair. He's been so mean and so cantankerous and so ugly and so... And God had the audacity to forgive him. Can you believe that? And so, you know, I get called. I'm answering the call. I'm going to college, and I'm there, and they said, you have to go through inner healing or you can't start classes. So, well, that's no big deal. I'm going through. I submitted myself to the Lord, and they went through some teaching, went through the inner healing and things that just need to get right. And then they said, now you got to forgive everybody, living or dead. And I was okay until they said dead. Because now I had to forgive my father, who had died 3.5 years earlier. I got to tell you, I couldn't just easily... That's something you can't fake in front of God. Come on, somebody. I mean, I was smiling on the outside, but I was weeping on the inside and mad. Shaking my fist sometimes at God. God, you're asking me to forgive him. Because it was part of my testimony. It was part of my testimony. I could say, boy, I lived a rough life, and boy, I had a mean father. And I'd feel good about that. Sometimes unforgiveness makes us strong in the wrong way. Come on, somebody. Wish I had about an hour just to develop that. Because it makes us strong. It becomes part of our testimony. But we have no right to harbor unforgiveness when God forgave us of everything.
That's right.
That's what he spoke to me on that floor that night, on that carpet. I could still see it. I'm on the carpet. I'm crying out to God. I'm saying, God, I don't want to forgive. And he said, you have no right to harbor unforgiveness. I forgave you of everything. Without mentioning anything, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I started to look at my sin and I said, man, I was cruel, inhumane, mean, perverted, ugly. And you forgave me. My friend, the greatest day that you ever have, if you're harboring unforgiveness, is when you release it. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen to your life outside of salvation. When you forgive somebody else. Because what happens is, and you may forgive somebody and they might not change. It's not about their change. It's not about what they do. It's not about who they are. They may continue being mean and evil and perverted and ugly and all those things. You could pray for them because now you're released. Because every time you think about them, and some here today, and I'm talking to you right now, some here today have just thought about that person or people, and they're like a chain. They pull you. You think about them and that hurt comes back. You know who's the Lord of your life? They are. It's not Jesus, it's them. They're the Lord. All you got to do is think about them and get twisted 7 ways to Sunday. Oh, I can't believe it. Man, when you forgive, the chain is cut. Amen. They're gone. Amen. Doesn't change what they do, who they are, but it changes you. Amen. Forgive us as we forgive those. It was said earlier, if you don't forgive those who you seek, Father cannot forgive you. Hold no offense and level no accusations. Walk in divine forgetfulness to wrongs done. Memories of wrong only cloud the blessings of right. Lord. Let me say it again. Memories of wrong only cloud the blessings of what is right. And do not, hurrying as quickly as possible, and do not lead us into temptation. This reveals his eternal victory. Following the path of the Lord keeps us out of the road to destruction.
Amen.
We can trust God. God's not going to lead us into temptation. Temptations come and victories follow. James 1:12, quickly. James 1:12. I want to give you that final 1-2. Is that all right? Glory to God. Toughen you up in Jesus' name. We're going to be a church of prayer warriors.
Glory.
And we're going to start, I'm going to talk to those that are doing the prayer list, the things, we're going to start putting prayer requests and answers and publicize them to build our faith. You come with a prayer request, if you come with a prayer request, you make sure and tell us when that prayer is answered, and it will be answered, because we're going to agree for it, and we're going to put it down. Blessed is the man, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Underline the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. God will not lead us into temptation, but he will deliver us from the temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. This reveals his protection. Anybody messes with me, any demon in hell messes with me, they got daddy to deal with. He doesn't send me out on his own, on my own. Devil comes to me, any demon comes to me, I say, who you messing with? You see who's right here? In Jesus' name I bind you. God's intent is for victory and dominion in each believer. In every believer, his intent is victory and dominion. Say this with me. I rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ Jesus, you're nothing. Zero with the rim kicked off. But in Christ, you're victorious. Just a few scriptures quickly. First, Isaiah 54:17, you don't have to turn there. Listen, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Who's a servant of the Lord in here? And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Glory to God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. My weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds that I don't even know, but prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Come on, somebody. Might start to preach. Proverbs 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Oh, somebody cursed me. Well, don't worry about that. If there's nothing on you to be cursed, that curse is causeless. They're wasting their breath. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Devil, you may think you're taking me out, but I'm not going out. There's a going home day on my birth certificate in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This reveals his glory, his kingdom. So this prayer, our Father prayer, becomes so much more because it opens up to us the power and the content that prayer holds for every one of us. Revelation 11:15, the angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It starts with him. It ends with him. It's filled with him. Father in heaven, I pray today. God, I thank you for your powerful word. I thank you for demonstrating that word even before the word was preached today. I thank you, Father, for meeting every need according to your riches and glory in Christ. I thank you, Father, that you hear the prayers of your saints, oh Father. Lord, there's some here that have been crying out since we started to sing this morning. Been crying out even through the message. God, is it possible that you could hear my cry? God, meet every need here today. God, let faith arise in the hearts of those who have been disillusioned, discouraged, trampled on by the power of the enemy. We rebuke Satan, the devourer, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, everyone that's here and hearing this, oh Father, would walk in newness of life. Receive what the Lord has for you today. Father, we thank you. Bless the word. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching of your word. God, whatever was said in the flesh would stop. What was said in your spirit, God, may be planted deeply within our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now preach back to me just quickly. You've got 3 minutes. No, just kidding.